titled Quran Support for Higher Education was recorded Sunday, June 7, 1998, in Atlanta, Georgia. The lecturer is W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman.
Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be unto you. We praise God, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, who is the Lord, sustainer of all the world. We witness that He's one, there is no partner with Him. He needs nothing as a help to Himself. Everything that serves Him must serve Him as a servant. He is the only God. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets, mentioned in the Old and the New Testament, according to the words of God in His book, the Quran. Allah Most High says of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, to say, قُلْ say, أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, that I am a mortal person like you. مِثْلُكُمْ means like you. This had been said before by Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, but obviously the people didn't understand him. He said, I and you and me, meaning that the two had something in common, and that was the universal person that God created. Muhammad and the prophets all were universal persons, universal persons, universal intellects, universal souls, and universal intellects. What do we mean by that? Their souls were created as our souls were, but God awakened their souls or expanded their consciousness so that they would see that they were created to be dwelling or living in not only their local town, a local place, a local country on this earth, but to live within the creation of God. They were created to live consciously within the total creation of God. And the ancients called it cosmic man, man of the stars, of the world of stars. And the Greeks used human figures to designate certain stars in the universe. Those stars were given human figures and human names because they saw their science reaching the heavens. It was only to say our science, the science of the Greeks, have reached the heavens. And it was Islam, the Quran, and Muhammad the Prophet, that revived the sciences and brought it back in clear language so the world could get the benefit from it. Not in pictures, not in picture language. Men, Zeus, and others living up in the heavens, up in the skies, as cosmic figures, but pure language, human language, common language, so that we could understand it. And as we go on with this address, I'm sure you are going to understand more of what we have said so far. Say, I am a mortal person, mithlukum, like you, which makes it very clear that whatever Muhammad was, we are, and whatever we are, Muhammad was. And that's the mortal human being that God created when He created our first ancestor, Adam. And Adam is to be seen not only as our first father, our first ancestor, but Adam is to be seen as the universal person, universal intellect. Adam was not an African. Adam was not a European. Adam was not a Chinese. Adam was not Japanese. Adam was human. Adam was simply human. There was no nation, Japan. There was no continent called Africa when Adam was made. Adam was made in heaven. God created him in heaven and then put him in the earth. This is the language of Islam and the language of Christianity and the language of Judaism. The man was created in heaven first and then put into the earth. Mythology covers that language. In the Greek myth, we have men being created from heaven too. Water rains down from heaven and creates men. a certain order of men, and then blood comes down from heaven and wets the ground and creates the super order of men, the super order of men. So this language, the terms that we use, they go back to ancient times. And that's why we have in the Quran that God has sent messengers that are named in the book and others not named in the book. So we don't know all the messengers of God. We don't know all the prophets and messengers of God. Allah makes it clear to us that we know those named in the book, but there were others too that are not named in the book. Muslim philosophers, Muslim thinkers, they reason that Adam himself was a prophet. Adam, the first man himself, was also a prophet of God. Adam is to be seen as the intellect that was created to live in the creation of God, not just in a local place, but live in the creation of God. That is, we are to be conscious of the whole creation of God, not just the earth or part of it, the whole creation of God. That's the universal man, the universal man. Universal soul and universal intellect, or universal mind. Allah says of Muhammad that he's a mercy to all the worlds, a mercy to all the worlds. How are we to understand that, that he's a mercy to all the worlds? We know that Allah is the most merciful, and that mercy comes from Allah, that Allah has given of his attributes to his creation, especially his best creation. He has given of his attributes, attributes of compassion, attributes of mercy, compassion, and many other attributes that make us very special creation, very special creation. Allah is Ar-Rahman and Allah is Ar-Rahim, and both of these words come from the root word meaning mercy, Rahmah. Ar-Rahman comes from Rahmah, meaning mercy. Ar-Rahim comes from Rahmah, meaning mercy. The first mercy is the gift of this physical, objective world. That's the first mercy. Us included in it. That's the first mercy of God. That's his Ar-Rahman. And the Quran is also of the first mercy of God. Because God says that he allama al-Quran, and that comes in the surah titled Ar-Rahman. The surah is titled Ar-Rahman. And God says in that surah that God allama al-Qur'an, that he taught man, human being, the human being, the Qur'an. So we know by that being given in that surah that the Qur'an is also of the first mercy, of the first mercy. The Qur'an makes it possible for the human intellect to connect back with the creation. Connect back with the creation, as Allah intended for the intellect to be connected with the creation. So the Quran makes possible the connection again with the creation. And therefore the Quran is the key, is the miftah, is the key that opens up the creation again for man to get the proper benefit that Allah, his God, his Lord, his Creator, intended for him. That's the great mercy. The Arabs, when they understood the attribute of Rahman in their intellect as scholars, they became so excited about that attribute of God, the Ar-Rahman, that they started saying Ar-Rahman more than they said Allah. And it's mentioned in the Quran, because others questioned that. Others were thinking that they were doing wrong. And they questioned that. To the Prophet, they said they are saying Ar-Rahman instead of Allah. They're calling him Ar-Rahman. So Allah revealed to Muhammad to that call on God by Ar-Rahman or any other name. For to God belong the most beautiful names, all of them. That was the answer, which means they were not condemned for saying Ar-Rahman, pleading to God, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman. They were not condemned for doing that. But that was approved, because God is Ar-Rahman. And over in the Quran, here God is Ar-Rahman. God is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So the first order of creation, the natural order of creation, was created for the human intellect. That's why the philosophers even go so far as to say that Allah created this whole creation, the universe, for Muhammad. For Muhammad. They call him the Rajulun Tamim, the perfect man, perfect intellect. Created it for Muhammad, for Muhammad. And if he created it for Muhammad, he created it for all men. That's what it means. But all of us are not in the perfect condition that Muhammad was in. So we must benefit through Muhammad, not directly from God, because we are not in the perfect condition that Muhammad was in. And Muhammad was in that perfect condition when the Prophet was chosen by God to be his servant and his messenger. He was in that perfect condition. How do we know? God says of him, and he have already lived a lifetime among you. He have already lived a lifetime among you, reminding them that Muhammad was a man of unquestionable character before he was called to be a prophet. They called him the trustworthy one, El Amin, and they believed in him. They trusted him. Even with their wealth, they would trust him. This is history, the history of the Arabs before the prophet was called to be prophet. They would trust him with their wealth. He was like the bank. They didn't have banks like we have nowadays. So they would leave it with the most trusted, leave wealth with the most trusted person. They would leave their wealth with Muhammad and go make their journey, come back and get their wealth. They knew it would be there untouched. And they also called him As-Sadiq. These were names given to Muhammad before Allah called him. They called him As-Sadiq, which means the truthful one. He never tells a lie. So Muhammad was in that perfect condition that God put Adam in. And Adam stayed in that perfect condition until he was deceived by the seducer, the Satan. This is Bible and Quran, Torah and Quran. Yes. So what does this tell us? This tells us that the God who made man to come into the knowledge and sciences of the universe, not the earth only, the whole universe. He made his intellect to feed upon the knowledge that is in the total creation, not just in one local place. And the proof of that is that man, over the history of man's growth as an intellect, his progress as a human mind, as an intellect, that history has shown us very clearly that wherever man takes his mind can grow there. Wherever he takes his mind can grow there. He takes his mind to the moon, his mind can grow there. He takes his mind to a distant planet, his mind can grow there. If he could take his mind to another galaxy of stars beyond the galaxy of the Milky Way that we belong to, his mind can grow there. Because God created his mind to be in the home of the creation, all of it. That's the cosmic man. That's the universal man. That's the universal intellect. That's the man that's in every one of us. And sister too, and you too. That's the man that's in every one of us. See, how can man be in a woman? Wasn't the man and the woman made from the same soul? Nafsin wahida, according to the Quran. He made both of them from the same person, same soul, same human entity. And he made male and female from the same one. And then God makes it very clear to us what is said there. He says, and he created you one from the other. not just from male. Originally, it's all just everybody created from a male. But then God says, and he creates you one from another. And from a male and a female, he created you. This is the Quran. So Adam is not male alone. Adam is male and female, because they both were together in one entity called the human soul, the first human soul, nafsan wahida, the first human soul. They both were in that same entity called nafsan wahida. God didn't create this soul and then make another soul and put a woman and say, I've created Adam from this soul and created the woman from that soul. No, he says he created both of them from nafsan wahida, from the same soul, both of them. مَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you except to be a mercy to all the worlds. لِلْعَالَمِينَ, to all the worlds. This is a universal man. A local man can't be a mercy to all the world. He could hardly be a mercy to his own world. This is a universal man. That's a mercy to all the world. Why are you all progressing so much here in Atlanta, your high school and your school? Why are you making this great progress? Why are you so special here? It's because you have been taught what I'm teaching you now. You have been given this kind of understanding, and your mind is being conditioned again to feed on the universe, not on just a few little textbooks your teachers gave you before you understood this teaching in school, or the volumes that you perhaps read. You're feeding now not only on what men have written, or women have written, but you're feeding now on the universe. And it's because of me bringing the message of the Quran to you in this way that you're doing that. You weren't doing it before. You didn't have this ability before. You didn't show this ability before. You're showing it now because God's water of life from heaven have rained down on your dry earth and have caused life to come into it. And things are sprouting up that you never thought would sprout up from your head. Yes. See, be honest like I am. I knew nothing. I'm shocked. Every time I look at how hard God has lifted me up, I'm almost shocked. And you should be the same way. And God will give you more. But if you don't be that way, God won't give you any more. There was an author, he has passed now, Nicosting, I think is his name, Nicosting. I think it's N-I-C-O-S-T-E-E-N. I'm not sure, but I do have it back home. I can look it up. But I didn't have time to look it up. I'm too busy here lately. So many important things pressing upon me. He wrote a big volume, big book, on Islam's contribution to modern civilization. And in this book, he concentrated on education. Education. And he mentioned Baghdad as a great center of learning after the Quran came and awakened the consciousness, the intellects of those people who had scholarly appetites or appetites to be scholars. And Damascus, Syria, he mentioned the center in Damascus, Syria. These were great centers of learning that attracted men of intellect, scholarly intellects, from around the known world at that time, and also he mentions Cordova, Spain, and how Islam brought civilization, a new civilization, to Spain, and how it survived there for over 500 years. Many say 700 years. 500 years of good life and good progress for Spain. We in America, we enjoy a long life as a nation, the United States of America, but we do not have that kind of long life. We have not lived 500 years. So in the history of Islamic civilization, We have a nation that survived much longer than America has survived so far as a nation, as a growing nation. And that was Spain. Spain under Islam, brought there by the northern Africans called the Moors. Moors from northern Africa came to Spain, brought Islam there, and the result was the establishment of civilization that lasts with progress and good life for 5 centuries, for 500 years. You should be aware of these things if you want to have strong schools. You're Muslims. You should identify strongly, firstly, with Islam, with the Quran, with Muhammad the Prophet, and the glorious history of Islam on this earth. That's what you should be identifying strongly with, firstly. And then secondly, you identify with something else, whatever that is. Your motherland, Africa, or whatever. You identify with that secondly, because that's nothing like as important as the message of Islam that you're getting today. That is, and that the world got from Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. That's nothing like as important as that. Nothing has reawakened this world and made possible the sciences and human comforts and progress for human life more so than the Quran, Muhammad, and the teachers of Islam who followed in his tradition. This is a fact of history. All the support we need for education in our schools comes to us with our religion, Islam. That's where it is. That's where the great support is, in our religion, Islam. To mention a few persons who contributed to the revival of scholarly devotion and sciences, we have to mention persons like Abu Sina, the one who revived interest in medicine and made possible what we have now as modern medicine, Abu Rushd, and Khwarizmi. I love mathematics. I love arithmetic. I love science. And Khwarizmi is the father of modern mathematics. Modern mathematics. And those other scholars in his time who made contributions to revival of the sciences, among them mathematics. You can hear arithmetic in his name, Khwarizmi. They took arithmetic from his name, Khwarizmi's name. And the numbers we have, they are called Arabic numerals in our encyclopedias, dictionaries, good dictionaries too. When you look up the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4 that we use, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the number system we have, they are identified as the Arabic number system. Arabic numerals, they say. Arabic numerals. Shouldn't that make you curious? It did me. I was a son and student and follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a young man in my teens. And when I learned that those were Arabic numbers, it really caught my attention, and I began to want to learn more about it. I said, this is our religion, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, say we are Muslims, and the Arabs are Muslims, and these numbers are called Arabic numbers. That made me feel very proud. That's how come I'm the man I am right now. Yes. See, you all don't know, you have to have the right attitude, the right condition of mind and soul and spirit. You have to be in a good human condition for Allah to bless you with his great blessings. Are you bragging that Allah blessed you with his great blessings? No, I'm not bragging. Every time I think of how I've been blessed, my soul is making sajda. I'm making sajda inside my body. I humble myself completely to God because I know I have nothing except what God gave me. I have nothing. And I wonder why me. I'm nothing. Came from a father from Georgia, a man from Georgia. He was nobody. He was a drunkard. He was habitual drunk. He couldn't stand the depression times. He couldn't come home to see his wife and children with no money. So he stayed out in the street, drank. He stayed drunk all the time, so he wouldn't have to be conscious of it. no more than he had to. And my mother told me, she said, son, I used to have to go out and find him in the streets and bring him on my shoulders. She was a strong woman. I saw her carry 100 pounds of beans up the steps. Yes, my mama. 100 pound bag of beans. That was during the time when they were rationing food. And all of a sudden, Muhammad told them to store food away, put food away. And she would get, I was too small to carry that 100 pound bag, but she would carry it. And she told me, she said, son, I used to carry your father on my shoulder and break the chicken to the bed, she said, and then push him off my shoulder onto the bed. And he would fall upon the bed. And that's where he would stay until he woke up the next day. She was telling me that not to tell me my father was a drunkard. She was telling me to tell me what my father received from Farad, Mr. Farad, W.F. Muhammad or W.D. Farad, had made such a change in his life, and that we should be so happy for that happening, because if that hadn't happened, we would have a drunk for a father. That's what my mother was telling me. But that's what I came from. I came from him. I was born to him. That was my father. And I was born to Cloud Muhammad, who never received more than 7 grades education. She said, son, the highest I was able to go in school was 7th grade. And my father told us the highest he was able to go in school was the 3rd grade. Not because they were ignorant, but because they had to work in the fields. Their parents told them to work in the field, I guess. Or whoever their boss was told them, look, you're not bringing enough in to get enough money. Your boss would tell you that you better put those children out there in the field to help you. And they had to go to the field with their parents to work. A man like Moses, Muhammad is called. A man like Moses. What is the understanding we are to get from that statement in the Quran that Muhammad is the one that's promised to the people that would be raised up from among the men, the common men, the men, the brethren, they translated. A man like Moses, a man like unto Moses. What are we to understand from that? Moses was a man who was not educated. How do we know that? He had to have the help of Aaron, his brother, to communicate. God gave him his brother Aaron as a prophet too. Aaron was made a prophet by God. Gave him his brother Aaron as a helper to him, to help him communicate. Why? Because his tongue had a knot in it. Had a knot in it. What is to be understood by a knot in his tongue? It means that he was not of educated language. He was not of eloquent speech, etc. He was not an educated man. That was a knot in his tongue. Moses was not educated by his people. He couldn't have been educated by his people because he was sent from his people as an infant upon the river in a little basket that was made to keep out the water and sealed with the tar to keep out the water. And he was put upon the river and sailed down the river. And it was Pharaoh's wife, according to history. It was Pharaoh's wife, scripture and history, who took him from the water and took him into their home. Now you say, well, he went into the home of the big lady of the Egyptian empire, if we want to call it empire. I don't know whether they would call it empire in that time, but we could say empire. And so you would think that he was educated by the Egyptians. Look how many of us have been taken into the empire of the United States of America and never learned a goddamn thing. Excuse my language. Excuse it, please. But we never learn a damn thing and take it right into the house of the big people. Yes. So don't think he had to be educated because he was taken into the house. They took him to the house for special services, just like they took us into the house for special services, but didn't educate us properly. So he was not educated properly. And when his own people told him that he was going to be their liberator, he was surprised. He couldn't understand it. He didn't think he was qualified to be their liberator. And he didn't really understand until God himself called him. When God spoke to him, he was searching because he didn't like his people suffering under the Egyptians. So he got himself in trouble with the Egyptians. And he was searching for understanding. And he told his wife, he said, I think I see a fire at the foot of the mountain. So I'm going there. He said, perhaps I will be able to bring something to warm us with from the fire. He went to the mountain, and when he got there, scripture says, both scriptures, Bible and Quran, says God spoke to him and told him that he was on sacred ground to take off his shoes. And from that time, he became aware. God began to teach him. God became his teacher. Yes. Now, you know, there's something about that, his relationship with his brother, Aaron, peace be upon the prophet, that we should understand too. Though Aaron did a job, he did that job in subordination to Moses. He was not over Moses. He didn't tell Moses, okay, Moses, now I have to do my job. Moses told him, now you have to do your job. Moses told him, now you have to do your job. Actually, the great knowledge was given to Moses. Aaron threw down the rod, according to scripture. And his rod defeated the tricks of the magicians of Pharaoh, who also threw down rods. And they appeared to be serpents, snakes, living snakes moving about. And Moses had been given this knowledge, but it was Aaron who was told to do the job. You follow? Do you recall then? Who said it? Do you recall? Yes. It was Aaron who did the job of throwing the rod down, but it was Moses who had been given the knowledge. When? When God told him, God asked him, say, Moses, what is that you have in your hand? And he said, this is my staff. Or my rod, my staff, or whatever you want to call it, my staff. He said, and what do you do with that? He said, well, I walk with it and I beat brushback in the path to open the path for me to walk. So God said, throw it from you. And when he threw it from him, it turned into a big snake. And Moses became afraid and he withdrew back from it, rushed back, got back from it, from the snake. And God said, now take it into your hands again. He told him how to take it, and it will become as it was before, your staff, your rod. So God had already showed Moses the great science, or the great mystery of the staff, of the rod. And so Aaron wasn't doing something that Moses had no knowledge of, but he just had the language. He could speak the language that was understood by the Egyptians, and that would impress the Egyptians, whereas Moses could not speak to them clearly. His tongue was tied. He had a knot in his tongue. So both these prophets are signs of the great proof that God gives. What kind? What is proof? What is that proof? Proof that God taught man. God, who created the universe, is man's teacher. How am I taught by my teacher in the school, in the classroom? My teacher communicates to me from her or his mind what they have gotten And my teacher is assisted with textbooks, etc., blackboard, writing pens or pencils and chalk and all these things. That's how I'm taught by my teacher. God says he taught man the use of the pen. God says he taught man the use of the pen. Now, do we accept that or not? If God says he taught man the use of the pen, we know the oldest education exists for us in the form of ancient writings. Ancient writings, that's where it exists. It comes in writing. We call it print now. It comes in print or in writing. And God says he is the one who taught the man the use of the pen. And God also proves it. He says it and he proves it. That all knowledge came from God, and God is the teacher. The first teacher. We say Mother Nature is our first teacher. But if we believe in God, who made Mother Nature? Then Mother Nature is not a person. Mother Nature is a pen and ink. And God said if all the trees could be made into pens, and the seven seas multiplied over, they would not be able to write all the knowledge of God. All the knowledge that God has given for the human intellect in this great creation. They would be used up, and there would still be so much more to write. Why? Because the whole creation is the teaching of God. And he created the human intellect to live in that teaching, a learning environment. Isn't that plain? Plain as ABC. So Allah says in the Quran that he, allama al-Quran, taught the Quran. Now you Muslim, I know you accept, you will accept that. That it was God that taught Muhammad the Quran. That he taught the Quran. Allama al-Quran. Wa khalaqa al-insan, and created the human intellect. And created the human intellect. Wa khalaqa al-insan, and he created the human being, or whatever. I'm being more specific. And created the human intellect. That he is the one. This is the special identity. You are not a human being because of your leg being shaped the way it is. Monkey leg look very much like yours. Just shave both of them. Or your anatomy looking like it is. The monkey's anatomy looks pretty much like yours. You are the human being. You are with the great capacity and the great potential and the great ability that you have because of your intellect. Because of this right up here, inside that head, the brain, the human brain. Your brain is not like any other brain made for any other creature. It's because of the way God made your brain that you, in your service to God, once you awaken to your service that you have to render for God, to God, you are a little above the angels. That's scripture, and that's also Quran. Yes. Nothing in creation is higher than the universal person that God made to benefit from the whole creation and utilize it in respect, out of respect for God and in service to mankind. Nothing in creation has been given a more, I would say, honorable position or role in matter in the creation. And God cautions man now to not to get thick-headed. God says, when he was revealing the great work of creation, how he would create this universe, this great world of stars and everything that we see all about us and ourselves, He asked, who will accept responsibility for this? The great hills and mountains refuse. But man, God says, had a tendency to be big-headed and cocky. And he rushed up and told God, I'll accept this. God says that he is hasty and foolhardy. Hasty and foolhardy. How does God state that again for us? God says in the Quran, man, do not think that your creation is a bigger matter with God than the creation of the skies and the earth. How are we to understand this? Is this a contradiction? That man is the very so special that he is the highest form in creation, and at the same time now we're saying that the creation is a bigger matter, a bigger concern than human beings, than man? How are we to understand that? Man needs the creation to support his rise, ascent to his great station that God wants for him in this creation. He needs the creation to rise. God created the creation itself, the material world, universe. God created this as the environment for man's awakening and ascension. He created this. And if he doesn't connect with this, he has no rise. He has no ascension. And he needs this to support him. And God says, see how your provisions are given to you from the skies and from the earth. See how your provisions are given to you from the skies and from the earth. Not just the earth, not just the sky, from both the skies and the earth. And God says, look, you men of scholarly intellect, look at this creation. Let your eyes roam. Travel over the creation. See how your sights come back to you, tired, worn out. That's to tell us too that the universe, as a learning environment, is more than we can manage. It has enough for any human mind. No human mind will be shortchanged. No human mind will be denied anything it wants if it will feed upon this great universe. All that you need in your mind, you can get by feeding upon this great universe. And you will find that you will feed on it, and there will still be a lot that you won't be able to digest. A lot that you won't be able to eat. You have to leave a lot on the table of the skies and the earth. Yes! So understand that your creation is not a bigger creation than the universe itself. But your service is. Your service is the greatest service. These things cannot serve God as man can serve God. Not in man's realm or in man's field of existence. You know, if the sun could hear what we are saying, the sun would be laughing. Oh, hell, I don't know how and what they're talking about. Man is bigger than I am. I know what I am to him, but I know what he is to me. Nothing. I don't need him. The whole earth can vanish, and I'll still be up here. You know, I'm sure the earth will be laughing like hell, you know, laughing like this, like the Dickens, and at this language of ours down here. But I'm not talking about in matter's existence. I'm talking about in human existence. In human existence, man is the only thing that renders service to God, that makes possible an increase and an improvement on the environment and on his life too. Because of man, animals can have a better life. Because of man, plants can have more life. They can have multiplied life. They can have more of their potential realized because of man. As I said, if the moon or the sun could look down and hear our language, they would laugh. Because
because they're not of our world. And they don't need us. We need them. But in our world, yes, we are the greatest if we accept to obey our Lord and expand our mind. See how your provisions are given to you from the skies and from the earth. We know that's true, scientifically speaking. We know that the earth grows our food, our clothing, everything comes from the earth. But we also know, science has told us now, we didn't always know this, we knew that water from the sky was necessary for things to grow on the earth. We knew that. But we didn't know that physical food comes down with the rain onto the earth, called nitrates. Science tells us that when the lightning strikes in the mist above the clouds, the watery clouds or the mist above, it causes a change in the composition of the mist and form nitrates in the mist, and they come back down to the earth and feed growth of plants in the ground. This is science. And not only that, science have also told us that we get energy from the sun. And it's not just heat, but it's food. Energy is also food. Certain nutrients, certain vitamins would not be possible without sunlight, making those things to develop. So that we would have that for our health, for our strength, for our life. So we have scientific proof now for what Allah said in the Quran, that your provisions come both from the skies and from the earth. And in so many other ways that we read in the Quran, where God sent iron down from the heavens, iron down from the heavens. And I'm sure some of you perhaps don't understand how that happened. Say, how did iron come down from heaven? They get iron ore out of the earth, because you are so textbook oriented and so textbook grounded, you can't see any further than the textbook. You don't think outside the textbook. God said, and he sent that iron down to man, that one of the great miracles, that iron came down from man's youth. Now, we know that volcanoes shoot up heat, fire, in the belly of the earth, breaks up through a crevice or something, and volcano lava comes up and goes up in the sky and rains down on the earth. And in that lava sometimes come many precious things and other things that man didn't know was in the belly of the earth, including iron. Yes, but also occasionally an object falls out of the sky. It hits the earth and burns up in iron. See? You thought it was spooky, didn't you? It ain't spooky. It's real. Yes. But not only that, science says that man have come behind great forest fires. Science. I learned this in the study of science, general science. Have come behind great forest fires and found that there were hard metals that he could use for weapons. The metal was iron. The forest fire had burned the ore, the iron ore, and hardened it to make it a iron. Now, what caused the forest fire? You think he was eating a McDonald's sandwich or something and smoking? And the cigarette fell on the McDonald's paper and set the forest afire? Most likely, lightning from the sky hit the forest and set the forest afire. So there's another way that God gives it from the sky, huh? Why am I saying all this to you? To get you to appreciate the perception of yourself and the perception of the world outside, your learning environment, as God wants you to appreciate it.
Once you do that, I can go home. I don't have to worry about you anymore. You're going to live in progress. I know it. It's guaranteed. Once you feel comfortable with that, nobody has to worry about your mind anymore. You're going to live in progress. And that's what Muhammad came. And that's what he came to do. And that's what he did. He gave the Quran in the right way to those people, his first followers. And they became the teachers that revived the intellect and brought back sciences that were lost and introduced what we have today as the modern world of modern sciences. Some of you do so many zikrs without praying consciously that you just go zikr crazy. You just zikr, 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 zikr. So when you hear certain things from Allah in the Quran, it don't reach you in the right way. It ain't spooky. Scripture says of Jesus, the scriptures that came before, says that Jesus said, I speak to you in parables, which means a language that has to be translated or interpreted for you to get the straight message or the clear message. So I speak to you in parables now. But nevertheless, I will speak to you in plain language. When? When he returns. He's going to return, according to the scripture. And when he returns, he's going to speak in plain language. Now, some of you may be waiting for that individual person to return. But I understand that he's a sign. And I know the sign has already returned. He's a sign of the Word of God. And the Word of God has already returned. The Quran. The Quran. Already returned. And is speaking to us in plain language. Just a few more minutes now. Highly glorified is Allah Most High. There is no partner with Him, as Allah said in the Quran. He has no helper because of any need for help in Him. But it is a mercy to His creation that He gives them the high position of rendering services according to the will and purpose of God for the benefit of themselves. Not God. God says the only thing that reaches Him is our sincerity, our purity, our taqwa, our obedience, sincere and pure obedience to God, our taqwa. That's the only thing that God will accept to Him. He doesn't need anything else. He created all things, needing nothing from His creation. So the great proof now, in the conclusion of this, the great proof that has come to us from God, that God is the teacher of man. Man couldn't have come into the sciences, into higher learning, without God. God is the teacher. God planned that to happen. That's what we have to understand. God planned the creation. He planned the creation. He made everything the way it is, so that it would support man's intellect coming into the great knowledge, the great science that would make a beautiful and wonderful existence for the human family of Earth. God planned that, not for Africans, not for Europeans, not for Asians, or anybody else except the total man, total family of man. We all came in religion, we all came in these religions, the great religions we have, Christianity, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Man came from one soul, one person called Adam. Adam. If man came from one person called Adam, and that Adam became two, Adam and a mother, Adam and a wife, or the father and a mother, and all of us are the children of that one entity that became two and produced all of us, then where are they today? Is it a big question to ask you, where are they today? Where's my father today? Oh, he's dead. Yes, but where else is he? Oh, he's in paradise. We hope so. Where else is he? He's in me. This is his flesh right here you're looking at. From his body came something into my mother and mixed with something of my mother and produced this meat you're looking at. So here's Elijah right here. That's Elijah. He ain't dead. He's living in me. And he's living in every one of his children. And their children. And the first man and woman living in us. They ain't gone nowhere. They just multiplied. Instead of it being one, now it's 5 billion plus. They just split up and became so many over the many thousands of years. They became so many. They're here in us right now. I'm Adam, and I'm Wallace. And I'm Elijah. And I'm Clara. Yes, I am. If I said anything different, I'd be a big liar. Big liar. If I said, no, I'm not. How did I get here? I couldn't be here unless Elijah and Muhammad had met Clara and they made it and produced me. My product is their is from them. They produced me. This is their flesh. And their flesh goes back to the first flesh. So does yours. These are simple things, but so heavy for your mind. Not heavy for bad. God, no, that's as light as dust on my mind. And God is my witness. It's real. It's plain. It's only difficult because your mind is in fiction, not in reality. This world has put your mind so much in storytelling and fiction that you can't even think straight. You have to break it, break the grip of this phony world and think straight, think reality. So when God says, and Adam did not sin with a desire to sin. He had no intent to be a sinner. Therefore, in his original creation, he was innocent, never guilty. In his original creation, he was innocent. But it was the mind that the devil, the Satan, enticed him to accept. When he came into that mind that Satan suggested for him, and he left the mind that God had put him in and accepted the mind that Satan suggested for him, the way of thinking. He suggested the way of thinking that Satan suggested. He accepted the way of thinking that Satan suggested. And he came into another mind. And in that mind, he committed the sin. He did the wrong thing. So, actually, was that the man God made sinning? Or was that the man the devil made sinning? That was the man the devil made sinning. That was not the original man that God made. The devil had to first seduce him out of the form that God put him in and put him in another mind and another thinking. And he was tricked, therefore he didn't do it intentionally, so he doesn't bear the sin. And God says in the fruit that he was innocent and not guilty, when he met a word from his Lord, he repented. and God restored him to his honor, to the honor that he created him for. So this is important for education too in our school. It's important if you all want to have free minds to do great work and service in this human family we call mankind, on this earth, in this universe, you need to get rid of that idea that flesh is sin and that man was created and he was weak, he was a sinner. He was created and he couldn't help it, he had to be a sinner. And it took another one to be created differently without a father to save him from his sin. That's Christian error. You hear me? One more time. That's Christian error. One more time. That's Christian mistakes. Okay? You Muslims ain't supposed to have no such idea in your head and no such influence in your spirit. You're not supposed to have it. You're supposed to believe that God made this flesh of mine and made it honorable. God says, "Qad karamna kulli bani Adam." We have certainly made honorable, noble, every child of Adam. Not only Adam, but every child of Adam. So you ain't supposed to be walking around here with some kind of a spook in the back of your head of some kind of belief that flesh is sin and all flesh is sin, sinful. Look what this world has produced. More freaks than ever could be imagined by anybody before that doctrine came. Yes. The world couldn't imagine the many freaks, the many forms of freaks that we have on this earth now that have been produced because of that doctrine coming into the world. No, they couldn't have imagined. And that's history. That's history. The history of man's moral fall, his moral fall, his moral drop from the high pedestal that God put him on. He didn't take the big fall. He didn't fall to the big depth until that doctrine came into his mind, into the world. That flesh is sin, and flesh is just has a nature to sin. And you can't help it. The only way you can be saved is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and all your sins will be forgiven. But a man had to come without the man that was not the son of a man, but the Son of God had to come to save us from this damned creation, the human creation. That's so ridiculous. No wonder the scriptures say a little child shall lead them. They'll be stupid enough to be led by a little child if they accept that. So I thank you, and let's draw this to a conclusion and pray to God that we stay in touch with reality. God says, truth has come and falsehood vanishes. For certainly falsehood is ever a vanishing thing. Glory be to God. Pray to him for forgiveness and mercy and guidance always. Amen. As-salamu alaykum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-798-6750 or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.